Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I am C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully we are changing the way you experience life and spirituality. And today is March 2nd. I can't believe it. Yeah, I knew it was the 2nd, but somehow I had the wrong month. So if you're listening live, which I know many of you are, or if you happen to be listening to an encore or you got this out of the on-demand section, this is actually March 2nd. But the truth is, it doesn't really matter because time is an illusion. And as we talk about A Course in Miracles, which is the topic for this particular show, then, you know, all of this is so holistic. I mean, whenever you hear it, I really do think is the perfect time, or maybe not the time at all. You know, when I say that, I think I was just having a discussion with somebody yesterday, and I was telling him, because he was saying, A Course in Miracles, boy, that sounds like kind of a weird title or something, and because he asked me what I was reading, and I said, well, you know, sometimes I do think the title is really, really just off. Like, why did you name it this? Because for me, when I first heard it and when I heard people talking about it, for the first 20 or 30 years, I never would even look at it because of its title. And then once I got, you know, some better information about it, specifically other people talked to me and I read a book, The Disappearance of the Universe, I go, ah, you know, it's not what I think. And that is a continuing story, I think, with A Course in Miracles. Is it's not what we think. In fact, maybe that's one of its core principles. Life is not exactly what we think. Our beliefs are not maybe what we think. The world is maybe not what we think. Maybe we're wrong about some of our interpretations. So as we get into this show, I just thank you for being here and thanks for listening whenever you're listening. And I hope you'll enjoy this. Today, we're going to look at lesson 134 from the workbook for students. And we're going to do that with my friend and an author, Susan Dugan, who teaches and facilitates A Course in Miracles here in Denver, Colorado. Now, this lesson is called Let Me Perceive Forgiveness as It Is. And as usual, sometimes I think if I just kind of throw that out into the chat room, people would go, what? I don't care about that. Or, you know, I'm kind of over that concept or something. But once again, and of course, in Miracles, this is so core because we have no idea what forgiveness is. I mean, I'm just kind of putting it out there. What the world teaches us, what we think we know about forgiveness is not what the Course is talking about at all. And this lesson is so central to that of just open your mind. Maybe it's something different than you think. And this lesson was really calling out to me because I have been really immersed in a book by Ken Wapnick on the obstacles to peace, which are described in the textbook of the Course. And as I was studying that, I thought, you know, I think that's a little bit too heavy for this radio show, at least at this point. But that lesson was really speaking to me. So I thought, okay, let's look at that lesson, 134. So it was interesting, though, I was kind of laughing to myself because as I was studying and going back to this lesson and preparing it for today's show, I pulled out some other materials that Ken wrote specifically about this lesson. And the reason I was laughing is because he starts it by saying, you know, this is a recurring theme that we discussed in lessons 68 through 72. Now, why I was laughing is because if you guys have been following this show, we talked about lessons 68 through 70 last week. And so I thought, oh my God, whether I knew it or not, I really am on a roll with this particular theme. So if you didn't listen to last week's show, you can go back into the archives, the on-demand section, and grab that one. But this is a continuing theme in A Course in Miracles. So we're going to discuss that in just a minute with Susan. But first, I just want to invite you, if you'd like to come into the chat room over on Facebook, we have a live chat while we do our shows here on 1-2 Radio. So if that's a place where you'd like to be, or you want to go over there and post a comment, or maybe you want to ask a question, you want to join other people who are already there, like James. Good morning, James. Thanks for being here. The way you get there is you go to our radio website, which is 12radio.com. And when you go there, you will see the navigation pane on the left side of the page. Look for the word chat, click chat, and you will be automatically redirected to Facebook where you can come into the room. And if you haven't ever been there before, our producer, Scott Weaver, will let you in. So he's at the door ready to greet you. So go ahead and do that if you'd like to, but you don't need to. You can just sit back and listen to this. You might want to grab your Course in Miracles workbook for students if you've got one. because then you can kind of follow along that way too. So good morning to everybody in the chat room. Hey, Renee, thanks. It's good to see you there this morning. So now let's just get on with our discussion. But before I get Susan talking, I do want to make a few comments because I think it's so important in the course. I mean, I find this with myself. Sometimes I just get into a maze and I almost forget where I was going. And so I want to say a couple of things. This particular lesson really is exploiting or talking about the ego's plan for salvation. And the ego, you might consider as part of our mind. And the ego says, you know what? I'm the innocent victim. I'm the innocent one here. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask for any of this. It must be somebody else's fault. So as part of that innocence and protecting that innocence, protecting that sense of who I am and I'm an individual, what we do is we project. We make things unconscious and then we project those issues onto other people. Now, sometimes we also project it onto our body. In other words, we kind of punish our bodies, you know, because then it becomes, see how innocent I am, see what a victim I am, you know, whether God did this to me or however it happened, I'm an innocent victim. So part of the basis of the ego's plan of salvation is making sure that we never raise to consciousness what we're really thinking or what's going on. We have to keep maintaining that we're innocent, and we do that by holding on to grievances. We do that by reinforcing our own guilt, by projecting it onto other people. If only you were different. If only my mother was different, if only this had happened or that had happened, if only the world was a peaceful place, if only we had a different president, if only all these other things were happening, then I could be peaceful and then I could be happy. And as long as I keep looking outside, as long as I keep projecting, then in a sense, the ego says you will be safe. But of course, the irony is the ego never really wants you to be safe. The ego wants you to feel like you're always, you know, unbalanced is what's really going on. So just I just am throwing out a few of those things and not to get into this place. In fact, Ken says, you know, it's not about fighting your beliefs. It's not about fighting yourself or fighting other people. It's a lot more gentle than that. It's just about raising to consciousness what is going on. So in this particular lesson, he literally does talk to us about, you know, false forgiveness. In fact, what the Course calls forgiveness to destroy. You know, I'm going to forgive you because I'm such a spiritual giant. You know, I can do that. I can overlook everything that you've done and I can forgive you. And this lesson is going, That's not what forgiveness is about. So that's what we're going to talk about today with Susan Dugan, who many of you are familiar with because she has written 3 books on forgiveness, which you can find on Amazon.com. And if you just check the internet, Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness, Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, and Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. So if there's anybody who knows how to talk about forgiveness, it's Susan Dugan. So Susan, welcome and thank you for coming today.
Thanks for having me, CA. It's lovely to be here as always.
Okay. And do you have any like automatic comments that you want to kind of set the stage with?
Well, I was laughing when you said if it's anybody that knows how to talk about forgiveness because of having written so much about it. But, you know, I'm probably better talking about it than I am at sometimes at doing it because it's really, you know, the course is practice of forgiveness is very confrontational to the ego, as you sort of suggested in your intro here. And the course metaphysics basically questioned the very reality of the world, the very reality of the personal self, and really, really are always, you know, telling us in one way or another. Jesus, as our teacher in the course, is always communicating that ultimately we're wrong about everything, and that we're not what we think we are, and the world is not what we think it is. And really, we are still this. We are an abstract wholeness, an undifferentiated oneness. You know, in loving communion with God. There's no me. In the truth and in eternity, you know, we are all embraced in the one love of God, And everything that we seem to be experiencing is a result of taking seriously a silly idea, what the Course calls the tiny mad idea of separation from our, you know, that it would be possible to create an alternate reality to this and experience some form of individuality. And we took that idea seriously, and as a result, we felt guilty about it. And I mean, even though nothing happened, we made up a whole story of about the sin against God and, you know, being cast out of heaven. And the ego's plan for salvation, as you were, what you were referring to, was really to project that whole idea of guilt outward to create a whole world to, in which to, you know, keep projecting on other forms, to try to get rid of this sense of guilt within us that we forget where it comes from, but we experience and, you know, really are always driven to try to see in someone else so that we can feel relatively more innocent. And so the Course's form of forgiveness, you know, I love what you were saying about what Ken's probably said in his, I didn't reread it this time, but in his Journey Through the Workbook on a commentary on this lesson, you know, it's really, since we have, I think it requires a great deal of humility and growing humility to become a Course student. And we don't start with humility for sure. that's not our default position. It's a journey of learning true humility in this discovery of beginning to be mindful of our thoughts and judgments and you know how often we're blaming others and beginning to question that maybe we're wrong about the cause. I mean, the Course's forgiveness is really, at its simplest, can be boiled down to two steps, which are also workbook lessons. And the first is lesson 5, I'm never upset for the reason I think, you know, which means that whenever I perceive myself unfairly treated and I you know, I have someone in my life, you know, has said something that I feel is insensitive or done something to me or betrayed me or I get an email that seems hurtful or I see something on the news that seems, you know, personally upsetting and I disagree with, you know, all of those kinds of things that that happen throughout our day. The Course is asking us to, as we react, catch ourselves for a moment and say, you know, maybe I'm wrong about what's really going on here. Because from the Course's point of view, the only thing that's going on is my choice to make separation real in any given moment. And I'm not aware that I have another part of my mind, you know, not just this ego that's driven to try to make me feel more innocent because I'm starting from a place of guilt, but I have this other part, this memory of wholeness in my mind that never took that tiny mad idea seriously. And I can also turn to that and say, you know, I must be wrong. I want to see this with you. And so the second step in that, the first step is lesson 5. I'm never upset for the reason I think. And the second step is lesson 34. I could see peace instead of this, which means I'm not just an ego. You know, I have a part of my mind that does see peace instead of this. I'm just choosing right now to deny that. The part of my mind that's real, that's sane, and the Course uses that word, the sane part of us knows that there's literally nothing out there, and there was no original crime, and so there's no need to constantly try to make up stories that involve blaming other people to make me feel better about myself. You know, everybody here is fighting the same hard battle of trying to prove they exist, but it's not their fault. They're doing it in wildly different expressions, but the cause is the same guilt and, you know, pain and fear that they will never be welcome home, that we'll never be welcome back to that abstract love that is our true nature. So, you know, we're all driven to constantly find guilt in each other, but it's not working for any of us. So So, you know, the course likens our experience here to a dream. So my experience as a course student is not to, I can't just go there. I don't accept that. That's not my that's not my experience in the dream. In the dream, everything seems very real, but I still can practice this throughout my day. I still can question, every time I become upset, every time I feel unfairly treated, every time I'm reacting, I'm anxious, I'm depressed, I'm angry, that maybe I'm wrong about why. You know, I think I know the answer to why I'm angry, and I think I know who to pin it on.
Right.
But Jesus is saying, no, you will always be wrong about that. So it's a very simple practice because it's all the same. There's no hierarchy of illusions from the Course's perspective. And so, you know, the answer, whether we like it or not, and very often we do not, but, you know, we can nevertheless at least remind ourselves, I must be wrong. And that's where the humility comes in. That's where the gentleness comes in. If I'm resisting, if I'm digging in my heels and saying, no, look what this person did to me, you know, then I know that that's coming from this fearful, guilty part of me, this child that believes, you know, that believes so much in this idea of guilt against God and the need for punishment, that I think the only alternative is to see it in someone else, because otherwise I have to see it in myself, because I first accused myself of this. And that's what this lesson goes on to talk about. But you know, I'm always accusing myself of what I secretly believe I did to God. And then I know that I'm acting that out by how I'm seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I'm seeing myself by how I'm seeing, you know, what I believe about you attacking me is always what I believe I've done.
Right. And, you know, I want to introduce a couple of things, and I'm a total broken record when it comes to my belief system. So I say this a lot, but one thing that drives me crazy about this thought system or about A Course in Miracles is that it really points out that so much of what is going on is unconscious. And it's sort of like, I don't want to think of myself unconscious, but also how do I deal with something that's unconscious? Right. And so that's why, you know, even as I was studying this lesson, I felt like in some ways I kept going down these mazes and mazes, and where's the end? Where's the light? How do I come back to this? And quite frankly, like, for instance, if you just said to me, well, CA, your issue is that you feel guilty for separating from God, and because you feel guilty, you're projecting that onto some other person. Well, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm going to go, Susan is crazy, you know? I'm not going to get that. And that's one thing I love about this lesson, is it literally, like one of the paragraphs says, there is a very simple way to find the door to true forgiveness and perceive it open, wide, and welcome. When you feel that you are tempted to accuse someone of sin in any form, do not allow your mind to dwell on what you think he did, for that is self-deception. Ask instead, would I accuse myself of doing this? And that might be kind of a fancy way of saying something that I think we can always come back to, whether or not we're having difficulties getting the metaphysics of the course or believing it. One thing we all can do is kind of look at, as you said, every single time we're annoyed, we're frustrated, we're irritated, we're depressed, we're upset, and specifically anxious to blame some other person, some event, we can literally say, would I accuse myself of doing this? That's an easy thing to do, and it helps raise those things from the unconscious to the conscious mind.
Right, because the ego survives in concealment.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the whole point is to make this more conscious, to make this, to bring it out into the light, and to really look at what we're doing. And so, you know, when we pose the question, would I accuse myself of doing this? Well, if I'm having the thought, I've already accused myself of doing this.
Right.
You know, every time. I mean, that's what's so simple about this practice, is that any time I am feeling anything other than peace,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I, or kindly toward anyone or anything, I know I've accused myself again of you know, having pushed God's love away, and I'm bound to see to use the defense of trying to make it seem like I'm the less guilty one. You know, I'm bound to see that in my relationships. So we know by the results of, you know, it, we know which teacher we've chosen within by the results of our reactions. And mm-hmm. every single reaction that is not peaceful means we've accused ourselves of this. So that's so it's like so simple. You don't have to like, you know, analyze this or figure it out, and you don't have to try to do anything about it. You just have to try to notice it, and really we're forgiving ourselves. You know, there I go again. I mm-hmm. must have again felt that taken seriously right now in this moment, the self-incrimination that I am guilty and that I really did, you know, this horrible crime and I can never go home again. And so right now, it's my mind in need of healing. And oh, you know, good news. We have a part of our mind that's a healer, you know, that is right there for us. That's the memory of wholeness in our mind. The Course refers to that as Jesus, Holy Spirit, but it's really just that spark, that memory of, you know, love that has never been broken. and it's there for us right now, and it's unconditionally loving to all. And so we're not condemned for having these thoughts. These thoughts are, you know, noticing these thoughts and being willing to at least entertain the possibility that I'm wrong about the cause opens the door to the part of my mind that knows the cause and just smiles and says, you're still welcome home. You're, you know, no one's guilty here.
Right.
And there's a shift in seeing that, you know, you see that the other person isn't innocent, and that's how you learn you are too. You know, that's the Course's formula. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah. Go ahead. But I was just thinking, I was talking to somebody earlier in the week, and I think this exemplifies this. Like I said, I think for a lot of us, we have a hard time couching it in some of the terms of the Course, even though, I mean, I do like it. But when I'm trying to discuss it with somebody else, sometimes, you know, it's that those words of Ken come back to me, just be normal. Right, and I feel like I'm not talking like a normal person.
Right.
You know, I'm not talking in terms that people really recognize. But I was talking to somebody earlier in the week, and she, and a lot of the audience will resonate with this. She has a whole lot of Scorpio planets. And so we were kind of talking about that. And then she just happened to mention, she goes, but, you know, I really dislike Aquarians. In fact, I think I hate Aquarians. And, you know, most people won't kind of come right up front with that. And I'm just sitting there kind of laughing. I'm like, okay. She goes, well, you know, they're just so opinionated. They're just so stubborn. They're just this, and this. And I said, okay, well, let's take a step back. I said, because one thing I want you to recognize is, yeah, it's true. Scorpio and Aquarius are the same modality. And in astrology, that means they're very opinionated. They're very, you know, they share that quality of really sticking to their guns, so to speak, really sticking to their opinions and what's going on. They have a vested interest in keeping things the same. I said, but what's really funny about this is I said, you've got Aquarian planets. I said, so what you're really telling me, or I said, I think what would be good, you know, for you to look at or to think about is that you're denying a part of yourself. You're projecting that Aquarian energy. And I don't know if I said it that way to her, but I said, you know, you're basically picking up that Aquarian energy in other people and you're judging it and you're throwing it out. And I said, that makes it harder for you to accept that in yourself. It makes it harder for you to use that energy. And I said, so I would encourage you to at least look at Aquarius and find some things that you really resonate with and that you really love, because I think this dislike or distrust of Aquarius is really something going on inside. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, and she was willing to do it. She goes, okay, I'm going to go do some research on Aquarius. But it was just so funny to me that the one sign she would kind of pick up on and volunteer that she didn't like that sign at all and she didn't like those people was something going on in her own chart. You know, right. It's like, okay. And, you know, but we see that all the time. I mean, in friends, family, and ourselves, where I'll find myself all of a sudden judging and commenting and being really pissed off about something. And I go, oh, my God, that's exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's me. That is so obviously my projection. Because that's what I worry about in myself. That's what I judge myself for. And when we're willing to just become aware of it, let our frustration, let anytime we're not at peace, if you right. just look at it, just look at it. And, you know, you can't ignore it and go, okay, that has nothing to do with me. Because if it didn't have anything to do with you, it wouldn't have come to your consciousness. And then, as the Course would say, then you've got a choice. And the only relevant choice you ever have is what teacher you're going to use to look at this issue. You know, are you going to look at the ego who says everything is separation, everything is just going to hell in a handbasket? Or are you going to have that memory, that voice of oneness that you never left, which, as you said, people call it Jesus, people call it God, sometimes we call it the Holy Spirit, but there is another voice that reminds us of what, where we came from,
right,
and who we are.
Right. There's that ego-free presence and spark within every mind, you know, and that light is there for every mind, and there's the ability to choose within every mind, you know, the ego or that spark. So, you know, really this is a, you know, from the Course's perspective, everything, if you, I mean, this isn't a casual spirituality, I guess is what
no.
I want to say. It's, I mean, it, you can, you, it, it certainly, if you're on, it, it doesn't claim to be the only one by any means. It says it's one of thousands of the universal curriculum, but if you resonate with this, and you would like to get the benefits of this, I mean, really, it requires some, you know, changing the purpose of your life. And, you know, the purpose of your life in every moment is something that we're rededicating, we're changing. And you know, we're changing it from this prison of guilt, of sin, guilt, and fear, and ego's specialness of trying to find, you know, to prove I exist, really do exist apart from God, but it's not my fault, and to try to find someone to blame it on, and to try to substitute with others to get our needs met, you know, in this sort of maladaptive, never-ending process that just leaves us feeling more and more empty. Or when we've exhausted the seeking and never finding in the world, we finally come to the, you know, and come to the awareness that there has to be another way. The Course says, well, this is another way to deal with relationships. And you change the purpose of your life to a classroom of forgiveness. You have this other teacher in your mind that is with you all the time. And if you're willing to change the purpose of your days, to give this some effort, and it does require effort in that sense, even though it's very simple, you know, and our part is very, very small, it takes dedication, you know, it takes willingness to do the work. And the work is just this practice. I mean, I think I like that word better than any I can think of, because it implies that we're not going to be perfect at it. You know, we're going to fail a lot of the time, because we're not even aware of how invested in the ego thought system we are, you know, how defensive we are about this personal self we think we are. And so we don't have to attack any of that directly, or it's all the undoing of our defenses, our barriers to love's awareness within will be done for us through this practice, through this process of questioning. But it does require us to take responsibility for for our experience back, you know, mm-hmm. and to say, you know what, and it's not that New Age idea of, you know, I'm projecting, why did I make this car accident happen?
Right.
Or,
right.
Why did I make, you know, it's not like that. It's, I know I'm projecting by my reactions, as I was saying earlier. It's not about the actual projecting of the form of I, Susan, did not create this form.
Right.
But, and this is all happening at the level of the mind that is, as you, I think even earlier than that, we're saying, you know, that's sort of beyond our awareness at this point. But we can still use the mind that we have, even though we don't know where it is or what it is, and the earthly form of love, the Course tells us, is forgiveness. The practice that gets us back to the mind, so that we can, again and again, so that we can ultimately begin to trust that spark of love for all within us. And that will eventually help us awaken from this dream, this nightmare of separation and separate interests. That's accomplished through changing the purpose of our lives to a classroom of forgiveness. And you know, as I was saying, going through your day, every time you become anxious, to the best of your ability, trying to question it, that maybe I'm wrong about the cause of this. We're raising to doubt what we think is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that, go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say, and once again, I mean, this is one of the themes that just keeps coming through the book that I'm working with, you know, with Ken Wapnick, or that I'm reading with Ken Wapnick. I feel like he's such a presence with me as I read this book. But just that theme of the ego's voice is always telling you all this crap, all this stuff that's going on, whether it's pleasurable or not, it's in the external world. It's in another person. It's in your body. It's in the external world. And the memory within you, the right mind is always saying, no, what's happening is in your mind. And any thought, any interpretation that you created is coming from a belief that you came up with. And therefore, that's why it can be changed. And so it goes back to the cause. We're always, you know, in medicine, we always say, you're always treating a symptom, not a cause. Well, that's really very much the difference between the ego and the mind, or the right mind. What we call the right mind is, the right mind is saying, yeah, this is coming directly from beliefs. This is coming directly from thoughts. And as long as your thought is the ego, as long as your thought is, I'm a separate individual, I've got to protect that at all costs. I've got to protect the fact that I am right and that I'm a victim and that I'm innocent. If that's the basis, if that's where it's coming from, you will never correct it. I mean, it will never, because you don't have control of all of those things. But you do have control over what you think.
Right, right. And you know, I don't know how many times, and I'm sure you have too, heard Ken say, you know, no one and nothing outside your mind has the power to take your peace away. That's a lie. It's a lie in every way it presents. And so if I'm agreeing with that lie, then I know I'm wrong. You know,
and it will not go anywhere.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I love what you keep saying about the purpose, because, and there again, astrologically, I've been talking a lot about Saturn and Capricorn. It's about our purpose. And as we continue to ask ourselves, what is our purpose? You know, what is our purpose in making other people feel guilty? What is our purpose in judging something? What is our purpose? When we're always looking at that, do we set the purpose of feeling peaceful, of finding the truth, of, you know, what is the purpose? And if we kept asking ourselves that, and repurposing our life, repurposing this life as a classroom, we'd go in a different direction. But that's, in a sense, the last thing we want to do is look at our purpose.
Right, right. Because it's very threatening to the personal self. And we, you know, we're not even aware of how deeply buried in the mind this idea of guilt is. You know, we have to remember that we're doing this as a defense for something that we took seriously, you know, the belief that we ran away from home, and you know, our addiction to punishment is so much
strong,
so much stronger than we're aware of, you know, and so we're constantly, I mean, the price of individuality is punishment of some kind, is guilt. And so, you know, guilt, someone must pay for this crime because it really happened. And so we're not aware of that part of ourselves that is so frightened and so driven to seek out guilt in others, to alleviate this guilt that we don't know where it comes from, it within ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the gentleness that you were talking about earlier, you know, we have to remember that there's, as we work with this, because we can't go trying to muscle your way through it, just throws us into more fear. And then we get, you know, then we're not aware again. We're not really mindful. We can take the course in all kinds of directions that have nothing to do with the course, that are right back in the world, you know. But if we stick with in each moment, we can at least acknowledge, maybe I'm wrong, you know. Maybe that's all I can acknowledge right now because I'm too afraid. Maybe I'm, and that doesn't mean that we try to stop feeling what we're feeling, that we're not, you know, we should be very kind to wherever we're at any given moment. It isn't that we, I'm a great believer in being with whatever emotion is coming up and not trying to run away from it because that's what got us into trouble in the first place, you know.
Exactly.
Was taking it seriously, giving it power that it doesn't have. So to very, very, you know, to gently with our teacher as we're trembling mad, you know, as we're grieving, as we're, I mean, all the horrible things that we believe can happen to bodies here. It's a tough world, you know, everyone's fighting a hard battle and it can seem very bleak at times. And so not to try to deny our experience, but to just say, you know, I must be wrong about what's really going on here. And I want to connect with that part of my mind that constantly loves and supports me and, you know, holds me in safety and will never leave me comfortless. And that's going to automatically lead me to also, you know, to inviting, I mean, to not excluding anyone from that loving place within, that quiet center in the mind, as the Course refers to it. And so if I can welcome myself even a little bit, or even just remind myself that loving presence is there and always there for me, it automatically takes, I mean, that we don't have to do anything. You know, we just can kindly wait out our tantrums and allow Jesus to do the undoing of the guilt. That will come of itself by our willingness to question our, you know, the cause of our experience. And that is the process that will lead us eventually to peace and to a sense of at least a glimpse, a taste, a moment of experiencing our own innocence. And each time we're willing to do that, we have a little more confidence and faith in that, in what's real, and a little less in what's unreal. You know, it becomes just a little bit less scary. And that's the development of trust that this course is laying out for us and happens just through the practice. We don't have to figure out where we are in it. We don't have to, I mean, that's what's so beautiful too. It's like we don't have to dig into our past. We don't, you know, Jesus is our very present therapist who's with us all the time and he knows the cause of everything. And he will never, you know, leave us comfortless, but we have to turn to him. But he's not going to abandon us when we're afraid. He knows we're afraid. He tells us that over and over again. So, you know, we have that choice in any moment to shift teachers. And even if we can't let go of the ego because we know that because we're still feeling very, very so much conflict, you know, even within our conflict and our self-loathing or whatever's going on at the time, our madness, we can acknowledge that God thinks otherwise, Jesus thinks otherwise, as the Course says, and is there for us. And you know, that choice will lead us gradually toward awakening, whereas the ego, awakening from this dream of separation, nightmare of separation, whereas our choice to reinforce the ego by following those judgments back into the dream and, you know, demanding punishment of one or the other, me or you, that will always root me more deeply in this dream. And I at some point I have to realize that that's the cause of my suffering and I don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Susan, you have brought up a number of points that I think recur in the Course in Miracles, as well as in this particular lesson that I want to really emphasize. Good. One of them is we do need to look at whatever's going on for us right now. As you said, we don't need to look in the past because you know what? It'll just keep coming around and coming around and coming around. So we also don't need to look at it as, okay, I've got 20 years worth or 40 or 50 or 60 years worth of stuff to undo, we have to undo what's going on for us right now. Mm-hmm. Because as we're able to look at that, then it resonates all the way down the line. The other thing, though, is that we do need to look at it. As you said, be with this emotion. In fact, Ken says in his book that goes along with the lessons, he says, you can't just tie it up into a nice little bag and hand it off and say, okay, Jesus, undo it.
Yeah, take this from me. And that's what people try to do. Yeah.
Yeah, take this burden away.
Rescue me from this.
And it's like, no, you need to come and you need to go, you know what? This just sucks. You know, I mean, you know, I'm crying my eyes out because of the latest shooting, or I'm, you know, this is what's going on for me. And which also brings me to the idea, you can't be what Ken calls a bliss ninny.
Right.
You know, it's not all good.
Well, you can, but it's not going to get you anywhere.
No. You know, there is no point in looking at the world, looking at life and going, it's all good. You know, because I think in our heart of hearts, none of us really believe that. We're all scared. We're all worried, or we're all thinking, when is the next shoe going to drop? So it's so important not to deny. And you said this in your talk. It's so important not to deny what's going on for us, because it's not about saying, okay, this is an illusion. I don't believe it. This is an illusion. I don't believe it. It's about going, yeah, that's the problem, is that I believe it. This is what I'm feeling. I'm upset.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do believe this. In fact, I think Ken even says that you can't undo it if you don't acknowledge the fact that you believe it in the first place. Denying that you believe it isn't the way to go. So, I mean, to kind of summarize, you need to look at wherever you are at this point. What are your emotions? Whether they're happiness or sadness or grief, whatever's going on for you, look at that emotion and kind of just follow that out. That, and most of the time we're going to find we think it's dependent on some person or event in our life.
Yes.
I'm happy because you said something nice to me, or I'm unhappy because you criticized me. I'm, you know, whatever. We're, you know, if we continually look at, once again, the purpose, you know, our relationships, if we repurpose our relationships, if we're willing to do that just constantly, that's how slowly and gently we start looking at it differently. And then we can get to the point where in the course it even says there's kind of a gentle laughter. We go, oh my God, how silly was that?
Right. And that's how we really, you know, it's by making our relationships classrooms of forgiveness. You know, the course spends so much time on relationships, and particularly what it calls special relationships, which are those, you know, long-term ongoing relationships that we have within which we trade guilt back and forth. You know, that's why people, that's what's really going on in relationships.
Yes.
That the ego is always trying to cover over. So your relationships have a different purpose now, not to just mindlessly try to get my needs met through all the bargaining and lying that I'm going to do, which is what most of us do, you know, to see how little I can give you to get the most from you, or the most return on my investment in the relationship. But to really see how I'm using this relationship, you know, unkindly, and it's unkind to both of us. It's unkind to myself. It's not loving. It's not bringing me love or peace. It's nourishing guilt in both of us, and it's the cause of my suffering, you know. And so I can change the purpose of my relationship to, again, by with Jesus as my teacher, to say, you know, teach me how to see this person differently. Teach me how to see myself differently. Give this relationship a different purpose of healing my mind over the belief in separate interests in one or the other, in healing the idea that you know, we're in competition for God's love. And so, you know, I think that through that process, we're also learning that we're choosing this, you know. We have been choosing the teacher of sin, guilt, and fear. We've been choosing the teacher of separation realized, but we can choose again. You know, we chose based on a mistaken information, and you know, we don't have to keep doing this. And so, you know, by being authentically there and present to what you're feeling, you become more sensitized. You know, you're not denying it anymore, and you're recognizing and feeling the pain of your decision. And that is that's the motivator. Jesus is always teaching by contrast, always saying, look, how's this working out for you?
Yes.
You know? You must have chosen the ego as your teacher. If this is the way you're feeling, do you think you have to keep doing that when I'm telling you, you don't, you know? If you want to keep doing it, you can. I mean, he never tries to take that choice away. He's always trying to get us back in touch with, you know, backing up the ladder to the mind, and gently again, because we're too frightened to do that directly. We're terrified of the mind now because we believe that we perpetrated a crime against the mind and can never go back there. But that's a lie. And so he's gently going to, you know, get us to compare how we feel when we're trying to root ourselves in the dream and make and prove we exist, but it's not our fault. And how that doesn't really work, you know, I mean, it just leads to more depression and anxiety and fear and anger. Whereas when I have these, you know, when I do say, you know, maybe I'm wrong about the cause and I could see peace instead of this, help me to see this as you do, I have more and more of these moments in which the guilt falls away. You know, there's this sigh of relief that I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I was happy, you know, I can be happily wrong. I'm not the home of evil, darkness, and sin. And the one I thought was responsible was not responsible either.
Right.
You know?
And you know,
it's not okay.
I had a situation this week that I thought really just exemplified this idea. We always have a choice. And it's so important to go back to what is the basic cause? What is the choice that we've made? And we can make a different choice. And what I did, I was trying to make a chocolate sauce and I didn't use a recipe. And so I tasted it and I said, okay, this isn't it. And I just kept adding things. And it was so funny because it became so obvious to me, CA, you don't like it because the basis of what you started with is what you didn't like. That's the flavor that's coming through, and you didn't like it. So you can keep adding things forever and keep trying to change it, but the basis was wrong in the first place. So throw it away and start again with a different basis. And it really did remind me, I thought, this is what we do or what I do in my life all the time. I think I can start out with the ego thought system of separation. I think I can start out with, I am an innocent victim and all these other people need to get their act together. And I can keep adding things and, you know, returning it and doing all kinds of things, but I will never change the fact that the original belief system was at fault. That was a bad choice.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
and everything
anyway.
That comes from it, if I've chosen the ego, yeah. There's no chance for happiness. You know, there isn't. I mean, there can be pleasure, But it will never fill me. It will never, you know, it will collapse.
It will never satisfy.
Yeah, yeah. So
it will never be the chocolate sauce I'm looking for.
Right, exactly.
Well, and you know, before we close out this particular lesson, I think, and you said this in the beginning too, that's so important. Everything that we know, making this all very cognitive, doesn't matter at all if we don't practice forgiveness.
Right.
And this lesson says it multiple times. Let me practice forgiveness. Let me perceive forgiveness as it is. You can't make it real in your life if you don't practice.
Right, right. And I think that, you know, from this lesson, the one thing also to bring away is that I'm never forgetting or forgiving anything, any guilt that's real in someone else.
Right.
Ever. Or me. I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in fact, in this lesson, towards the end, when they're asked, you know, when he's directing us to practice forgiveness, he says, now choose one brother and catalog his sins as one by one they cross your mind. Be certain not to dwell on any of them, but realize that you are using his offenses, but to save the world from all ideas of sin. Briefly consider all the evil things you thought of him, and each time ask yourself, would I condemn myself for doing this? So this really is a lesson that I would encourage people to go back to if you've already done the lessons. And if you're working through the lessons one day at a time, you're not going to get to this, I don't think, until May, maybe. But anyway, this 134, yeah, it's May 14th that this lesson comes up. But this is a very important lesson. And just try to read through it, you know, try to look at it and see that the way we define forgiveness, you know, I'm going to set aside your evil. I'm going to set aside your sin because I'm such a spiritual person. That's the way the world does it. And that is, in a sense, it's just condemning other people. It's not forgiving them. So let's redefine what forgiveness is and let's practice it. So that's what I would say. And Susan, do you have any closing thoughts or anything you'd like to say before we wrap up the show today?
You know, I just want to read a couple lines from it.
Okay.
That I think would be nice. Forgiveness is the only thing that stands for truth in the illusions of the world. It sees their nothingness and looks straight through the thousand forms in which they may appear. It looks on lies, but it is not deceived. It does not heed the self-accusing shrieks of sinners mad with guilt. It looks on them with quiet eyes and merely says to them, "My brother, what you think is not the truth."
Mm.
So that's how Jesus said, you know, sees it. And that awareness is within us. It's there for us if we choose to join with it.
Yes. And, you know, there's one line when I said there were so many visual things. I'll read this line. Talking about practicing forgiveness, it basically says he can remove the ponderous and useless armor made to chain his mind to fear and misery. His step is light, and as he lifts his foot to stride ahead, a star is left behind to point the way to those who follow him. And that's just imagery basically saying, for you know, our minds are joined. And every time we are able to get back to that place, to remember and to practice genuine forgiveness, it is as if a spark in the whole sonship has happened. A light has happened and other people feel the light. It goes throughout the entire batch, so to speak. It goes throughout the entire universe. A star is left behind to point the way to those who follow. And that's just such a beautiful imagery there.
It is. It strengthens that spark of lucidity within us, you know, and clarity and love. And it's, you know, we're all just fragments of the same decision-making mind. So it empowers everyone to make that decision.
Yes. Okay. Well, Susan, do you have any announcements, anything that you'd like to say before we close the show today?
The only thing that I would say is that the Foundation for A Course in Miracles has a new website that is same address as the old one, www.facim.org, I believe. But it's you know, it's still kind of being tweaked and all of that. But it's really being brought. There's a lot more interactive stuff in there. There's lots of you know, just all kinds of new ways of accessing Ken's materials, and I think people would, you know, that are interested in Ken's work would be very, very interested in that. So go check it out, and you know, there's beautiful samplings. They have ways that you can listen to different CDs and recordings and videos and so forth in the bookstore. So lots of good stuff there.
Yeah. And I just actually happened to go to there because Bruce told me about it this week. And I happened to go there just a few days ago. And yeah, it looks really nice and very user-friendly.
Yeah.
And just as an aside, one thing I was kind of glad to see is, you know how if anybody shops on Amazon, you can choose a not-for-profit organization that I don't know exactly how it works, but I think part of what you know, buy, actually, there's
the
a percentage that goes to them.
Yeah,
the Smile program.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I don't know if it was there before, but it became obvious to me, and I thought, yeah, why not? So
yeah, definitely.
That was cool, too, so I went ahead and signed up for that. But Susan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And I did post in the chat room the Foundation for A Course in Miracles at www.facim.org. And I also posted Susan's blog, which is 4As inforgiveness.com, which is exactly how it sounds. And anyway, so you can go over and find some of the things that Susan's done, or find, you know, what she's up to by going over there. So everybody, thank you so much for being here today. I hope that you will go back and look at this lesson 134 and just, you know, kind of pay attention to what's going on for you this week. So thank you so much for being here. And I guess it's time to close the show. And Scott Weaver, thank you for being here today and for just keeping everything going for us. You have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where you are changing the way you think about forgiveness.
Treat each other when the day is done. We are peace.